Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. During their enslavement in Egypt, the people of Israel found themselves in some real tough spots. Only when the pressure really mounts do some of us cry out to God for help. Today, a final lesson on finding God in a tight place. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer wraps up his series on what to do when life is hard. We explore some of the reasons for Israel's national trial and the trials we go through.
Let's nail this down for ourselves even more specifically as we think about our own lives. I want to give you some implications, and the first one is quite long, so I'm going to repeat it maybe two or three times because I want you to write it down. The first implication is simply this, that it is not necessary to see the big picture in order to believe that God has won. It's not necessary to see the big picture as long as we can believe that God has won. In other words, sometimes we don't see the purpose of it all, but we don't have to. If we believe that God has a purpose, that is sufficient. Rebecca and I have seven beautiful grandchildren, but actually we have eight. Our first granddaughter, Sarah, who would have been our oldest grandchild, was stillborn. She'd have been a teenager now. And as we held her in our arms, my daughter, weeping, said, "Dad, why did this happen to us?" Wow. And I gave an answer I want you to write down, because somebody may ask you a question like that sometime. It was perhaps the most profound theological answer I have ever given in my life. My answer was, "I don't know." We don't know all of God's hidden purposes. We can't read the fine print of his diary. We can't see all of the purposes that God has in the death of a little girl that would have been so well taken care of. We don't understand that, but we don't have to understand in order to believe that there are purposes, that God's way is best. And so often in life, during hard times, we don't see the purposes. We don't know the outcome. We don't know all of the hidden things that God is up to. But is God's way best? Blessed is the person who says, yes, his way is best. You don't have to know. We live not by explanations, but by promises. And there's a big difference. Second, I'd like to say that during a hard time, and actually during any time, we should spend more time looking up than we do looking around. If all that you do during a trial is to see the wind and the waves, and all that you see is unending boredom with no answers, it can certainly lead to despair and hopelessness. But if in the midst of this, we are committed to the Word of God, we are committed to His promises, we are deeply embedded in our pursuit of God, and we use all of the trials of life to get to know Him, even if it means a demotion, even if it means that our ministries are curtailed, because we believe that God is bigger than all this. When we begin to do that, even in the midst of our trials, we discover God is there. When God really wants to prune us, He uses a knife, and it hurts. Have you ever seen a gardener, a vine grower, that has pruned a vine in the middle of the floor, in the middle of the patch there? There's all kinds of twigs that are deeply cut, but he knows what he's after. More fruit. Cut back, I'm after something more important than what you can see. I've quoted it before, but I love the words of Spurgeon. Oh, blessed axe of sorrow that cuts a pathway to my God by chopping down the tall trees of human comfort. It's a pathway to God. Finally, if you don't submit to God in your trial, the trial might be wasted. Not everybody passes a trial successfully, you know. There are those, you know, who go into unbelief. There are those who go into rebellion. There are those who go into all kinds of sins because they figure, where is God anyway? I might as well forget about him. And so the trial does them no good. You see, in every trial, Satan's intention is to ruin you. God's intention is to grow you. And that's why I'm preaching this message, because I want you to make the right decision in the midst of it. I began this message by talking about a friend of mine. Out of work, stiffed, if we can put it that way, by two different employers, not getting what was due him. Child struggling with an addiction. His wife is divorcing him. He's had a lot of physical problems, hospitalized a week or two ago because of mysterious issues that are going on within him. Reduced to food stamps. Let me read you an email he sent just this week. First of all, he says that as a kid, he watched his father very closely because his father was a pastor, and he said, I wanted to see whether my father really believed God, whether or not he had the real deal. He says he was at a meeting where, that is, this guy, this friend of mine, was at a meeting where his father was voted out of the church. He said, I saw such anger in people's faces, I couldn't understand their reaction. So my father was out of the pulpit for a long time. He struggled. He says that we had very little money, and he goes on to show and to illustrate what that little money meant. But then he goes on to say, I noticed that my father's faith remained firm, and I knew it was for real. His father wasn't bitter. His father worked in other venues. And then he said, I noticed even when my dad was in his final days and his mind was not fully there all the time, when he prayed, it was like he was connecting to a power source different than any other time. And he prayed with gusto, vigor, and faith as he had done in his healthier times. I was amazed at the transformation that would occur whenever my dad would pray. When I was a kid, I prayed that God would give me a double portion of my father's spirit. Maybe these difficulties I'm going through are leading me to a double portion of his spirit, and maybe my kids will see in me what I saw in my father, someone totally committed to the Lord and not wavering in his faith, no matter what the difficulty is. In these difficult times, I too have been humbled. In fact, I have been humbled many times for periods in my adult life. I've had to accept the fact that I failed, made bad decisions, succeeded in some things, failed in others. But I believe I have remained faithful and honest. And now he describes what life is like. Now more than ever, I feel empathy for other people's struggles as never before. I've been taken into areas of society that I've tried to avoid. Manual labor has always been something I wanted to avoid, but I've done it recently in odd jobs. I've been directed by God in recent months to do some of this. I've met men in different strata of the economy and social ladder. I've found people to love everywhere, in every place I've been. I've been living with great reliance on a food pantry and food stamps. I get to feel what others feel when they are waiting to check out a grocery store and the clerk says with a loud voice, "Oh, food stamps." I get to feel what it is like to take cans of food and milk from the food pantry and have people see you carrying them out the door. In the midst of this, God is working in my life, greatly humbled before him. No matter what you are going through, remember this: somebody, somewhere, someplace has gone through something worse than you are experiencing, and they held to their faith and they made it on the other side. You know the illustration that I gave earlier about the children of Israel being in slavery? Actually, in the Bible, the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt is really a picture of our redemption. The Bible pictures us as slaves to sin. If you obey sin, you're its slave, Jesus said. How many of you, whenever sin tells you to do something, you do it? It doesn't have to be an addiction, but you and I are slaves of sin. And it's not Moses now that we believe, though we believe all that Moses said, but our deliverer is Jesus, the Bible says, who came to save his people from their sins. I don't want to end this message without giving an opportunity to those of you who don't know God personally, because you've never received Christ. And though you would not admit it likely, maybe the Holy Spirit has shown you that you're a slave to sin and you need to be purchased, redeemed by Christ. What you need to do is to open your life to him and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, my Deliverer, my Redeemer, because that's why he came. So in this message, there's something for everybody, isn't there? For those of you who haven't gone through a trial, I hope you took notes, because one is on the way. For those of you who are going through a trial, you have the 5-point program. And for those of you who don't know Christ personally, you have the opportunity to believe. This is Pastor Lutzer. I urge you to come to God today through Jesus Christ, even if your faith is minimal. People say to me, you know, I can't come because I don't really believe. Well, come with your doubts. The Bible is very clear that there's nothing wrong with honest doubting. Now, dishonest doubting, that's something else, but Thomas had honest doubts. Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails. I will not believe. And Jesus accommodated him. There are some people who have dishonest doubts. That is to say that they are not interested in facts, in truth. They will not examine the claims of Jesus Christ. That's a different category, but it's okay for you to come to Christ with doubts. As that famous hymn says, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Come today as you are, and God will meet you as you are.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Finding God in a Tight Place, the second of two messages on what to do when life is hard. We hope these studies have given you hope where before there was none. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. When Life is Hard is a brief series we're making available on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.